Welcome back to season 4 of the podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Blackwood. As many of you know, I wrote my autobiography as a survivor of human trafficking called Custom Justice. And if you didn't know, you do now. Keeping in line with that, this podcast has been dedicated to interviewing people who also wrote about their own experiences as trauma survivors and how they overcame their pasts. As much as we all hate commercials, they are a necessary evil these days. This is what keeps the show on the air. You can also show support by purchasing one of my many books or donating through PayPal or leaving a review on whatever platform you listen to this podcast on. That goes a long way to help. You can find the links for the books or donation options in the podcast description. And as always, a portion of the proceeds do go to local organizations that help fight human trafficking.
Hey, folks, welcome back to the podcast. As always, I'm your host, Amanda Blackwood. I have with me today, as part of this week's Christmas lineup, a young lady who is absolutely remarkable. I just adore her and her story. Her name is Peyton Leonard. Welcome to the show, Peyton.
Thank you. Thank you, Amanda, for having me. Appreciate it.
I am so excited to be able to talk to you. Let's start with a little bit of who you are. Let's go all the way back to where were you born? Where did you grow up?
I was born in New Jersey, though I don't remember it. Most of my life, I grew up in Maryland in a town called Olney. It's in between Baltimore and DC. And so, I was born in New Jersey, lived a little bit in Westchester, New York. And then in 2000, my family and we moved to Maryland from New York.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
I lived in Maryland for a little while when I was a kid. My dad was stationed at Aberdeen Proving Grounds when I was 2.5.
Oh, wow. So cool.
Yeah. So just getting straight into the nitty gritty here, what kind of trauma was it that you had to overcome that kind of sent you in the direction that your life has taken you in?
Oh my goodness. Where do I begin? I would say my story is riddled with abuse, bullying. Those are the main ones, but the abuse is, it's different facets. When I was younger, I was sexually abused. And introduced to pornography at that age. And so I developed an addiction to pornography. Was mentally and emotionally abused, physically abused, bullied in school. Let's see what else. It's a long list of things.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that's so common when it comes to having to go through trauma. You know, the first trauma kind of sets us up for being more vulnerable to other traumas and other abuses later on.
It's true. It's true. Yeah. And went through those things and did shape me.
Yeah. What was the impact?
Now I have 6 mental disorders. I also have a chronic illness. I have fibromyalgia. It started off as Lyme disease in 2013. And then I think what my doctor was saying, the rheumatologist I met with last November, was saying that the Lyme probably triggered fibromyalgia. And so that's what I've been dealing with the past several, 10 years.
Wow. So, you know, just recently I learned about a book called Toxic, which talks about the links between Lyme's disease and mold toxicity and autoimmune diseases. It's just absolutely fascinating that all the science is finally coming out. They've known that a lot of these things were very toxic for a very long time. In fact, mold is mentioned in the Bible.
Yep.
But at the same time, we also didn't have enough research within that field to really explain why and where these connections were coming from. So yeah, it's absolutely fascinating that this is very common amongst trauma survivors, and it's becoming more and more common amongst everybody these days.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
So what helped you to be able to move beyond all of the trauma that you had to go through?
Yeah, I think Well, God, first and foremost. And I think through God, just learning to just be vulnerable and connect with people through the suffering, I think. Because I had never gone to therapy up until I was 19, though I had a lot of this trauma that built up over the years. And yeah, it wasn't until 2013, it just feels like everything kind of exploded or imploded, as I like to say. And from there, you know, I just felt like God connected the plugs and allowed me to feel, you know. It was a scary time because I was at JMU, James Madison University in Virginia, for opera, actually. And I came down with Lyme while I was there my sophomore year. I had to withdraw that October of 2013. That November, I was diagnosed with Lyme. And I started therapy for the first time and was really dealing with the trauma that I had been through. And it was just a tumultuous time. And I just remember asking God to show me what I looked like in his eyes. Because I think there were times where I had some form of what it looked like, but I was too afraid to dive deeper into it because I knew it would be extremely painful. But I feel like I had no choice at that time. I think sometimes, like when trauma survivors go through things, like eventually you get to a place where it's like, it's either life or death.
Right.
You know, like you have to decide, like, can't I have to work through this or it's going to kill me. And so that was my time to really face the music and really realize and acknowledge the pain that I had been through. And it was very difficult, very difficult. And yeah, I remember one time I was crying so hard that I was screaming, but you couldn't hear my scream. But I was like choking on the scream. And I just remember this vivid image of like Jesus holding me in my mind. I felt, you know, obviously there was no presence like visibly to me, but I just felt like I was being held. And it was so powerful. And it was moments like that that I realized, like, wow, like, yeah, I've been through a lot of trauma and a lot of people have. But the beautiful thing about it is that, like, Jesus was there the whole time.
Right.
You know, it's not like he was far off and experiencing our suffering from a distance. Like, no, he was right there with us in the trauma. Like undergoing the same kind of suffering that we were. And I find so much comfort in that. And just knowing that, like, man, I wasn't alone when I was sexually abused. I wasn't alone when I was physically abused or emotionally or mentally or bullied or mistreated or persecuted. Like all these times I felt like I was alone in this. Like God was right there, right beside me, enduring it all with me. And that's such a beautiful thing to remember. And it gives me a lot of courage, because I think it helps me see that God never wastes our suffering. And it's Absolutely. A beautiful thing. It's so beautiful and powerful. I think of scriptures like in the Psalms where it talks about he records our tears on a scroll, you know, like every single tear we've ever cried, like he has a record of it. So like when the end is near and he comes back, like he'll be able to wipe every single tear that we've ever shed. And I think that's so beautiful. So, so beautiful. So, yeah, I would say God has definitely been a safe harbor and a safe haven for me as I have gone through original pain work and have been in therapy since 2013. And then I would say my support system, God has blessed me with some great people that I can lean on and really relate to and have sort of camaraderie with. Not that they all endured the same things that I did, but you know, they're just they're just kind and gracious. And it was difficult in the beginning, especially when I was first diagnosed with my mental illnesses and stuff. It was hard to talk about it because I felt so alienated. I felt like such a freak. Like, I felt like I was so damaged and broken. I was like, why would anyone want to associate themselves with me?
I've been there.
I felt shame because of my mental illnesses. And I remember and do recall just so many times just sharing my story. And, you know, it's so easy for Satan to get in there and be like, oh, like, if you share this story, people are gonna like hurt you more. They're gonna discard you. They're gonna throw you away. Like, no one will accept you. But I find it so comforting and so healing to be able to share my story and find that people aren't afraid of me. Like, they aren't recoiling from me or like looking at me disdainfully or awkwardly, or like, oh, she's been through a lot, let's leave her alone. You know, it's not like that at all. People are very like, I'm so sorry you went through that, and what an inspiring story you have, and like, what amazing strengths and resilience and survival skills you have. And, you know, that gives me courage too. And it helps me validate some of the feelings that I feel about my trauma. And then I think it helps to reduce its power over my life. The more that I speak about it and bring it into the light and share what actually happened, it helps eliminate some of that struggle and some of that shame and guilt that can come from having trauma. So it's very powerful stuff.
Yeah. I remember when I first started learning how to speak about my own past, at first I was terrified that people were going to judge me. They were going to look down on me. They were going to tell me that I'm less than because of what I went through. They were going to blame me for what it was that I went through.
Right. Right.
And it was exactly the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. People start circling around you and going, man, you have a story. Let's hear it.
Yeah. So true.
How often do you get to talk about your story? How often do you get to share?
I sometimes struggle with oversharing. So I'm sure that's like me trying to cope with my own trauma in different ways, but I'm very much an open book. So when people get to know me from the jump, I'm like, hey, this is my story. This is what I've gone through. And not as a way to make them have like pity on me or anything, but like, I just want to be authentic. I want to be genuine and be like, I can't hide. Like, I'm not going to hide my trauma anymore. I'm not going to hide this and minimize it and just shove it down. Like, I'm going to share about it because this is what really happened. This is truth, you know? And so I get a lot of different opportunities to share my story. Apart from being an author, I'm a musician. And so I'm a self-taught pianist, and I was trained classically by an opera singer for about 6 years when I was 10, up in between 10 and 16. And so I've written a lot of music and have a lot of music out there and produce and stuff. And so as a way to kind of have an outlet for that music and being able to just share my life and share my faith with other people, I'm a Twitch streamer on Twitch. I'm not sure if many people know what that is. It's a live streaming platform. It's like Facebook Live, but like, that's strictly all it's about. It's just Facebook live streaming and stuff. And so I started streaming on there in 2020, in April of that year. And I love it. I love being able to just build community and find like-minded souls that have been through hardship and just find music as a healing thing and a safe place to go to. That's what I strive to create in my streams. It's just a place for those who are hurting mentally, physically, spiritually, like any capacity of pain. Like, I just want those people to come to me and just find some solace and knowing that they're not alone in that pain, you know, and that there's hope, there's a light at the end of the tunnel and all of it. So,
and that's so beautiful.
Thank you.
There's so much to be said for using a creative outlet to be able to help get you through difficult times and to recover from trauma. You know, sure. I started with writing and eventually moved on to painting. I didn't know I could paint, and now I've sold paintings all over the world.
Wow. And
your art form for you is music, and it's so beautifully expressive. I have a confession to make. I have heard some of your music and it's amazing and I love it.
Thank you.
It's just fantastic. I just think you're amazing. And I love that you were in school for an opera. I mean, that's one of my favorite forms of music is opera. I know it's not as popular beautiful. As it used to be, but I'm a bit of a geek, especially when it comes to music. So it's really special for me.
That's awesome. Yeah. Opera is, it's a very freeing art style. It's powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me a little bit about your books. What inspired you to start writing?
Oh my goodness. I feel like I started writing, I don't know, I kind of feel like God like allowed my abilities to kind of bloom and blossom at the age of 10. I don't know what it was about 10 years old, but that's when everything started coming out. Like I started singing classically, I started making music and writing music and playing piano. I started writing stories, and it's just been, writing has been such a great outlet. And honestly, to me, writing is a lot like acting. To me, it's like it can be larger than life, depending on what you're writing about. Like if it's about fantasy or science fiction or something where it's portraying story and character development, like there's so much power in it. And there's something about words that brings, like it just activates your mind and takes you to a place like you couldn't possibly imagine create on your own. Like it just elevates you to a different plane in my mind. And so I've always loved that about writing. I think one of my favorite parts about writing is those still moments. And there's a lot of people that are probably like, oh, that's so boring. But like there's something about those still moments in books where like that the character is just sitting and you they're describing the way like their clothes feel on their skin, or the way the room is quiet and it's the silence is tangible. And or even if like they're just doing something very like mundane, like the dishes, or like just the descriptions and the way that words allow you to capture a moment is so beautiful and so powerful. And I love those moments very much so. And so
it's like a moment of mental intimacy where you're inside that person's heart and brain, and you can feel and see and taste everything
that they're experiencing. Have. Yeah. Yeah. It's beautiful. I love moments like that.
I knew I was going to like you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I think for me, it also comes down to those moments allow me to feel like I'm connected with that person. You know, like connection is very important to me. And I think it was the reason why it was so hard for me to get rid of my porn addiction, is because I was so intently trying to find connection through what I was seeing and hearing and experiencing. And like I was like, I want to be connected to these people, but it's not real. Right. It's fantasy. But I could see why it was so difficult to shake off that addiction. And so I just find it so fascinating, like relationships and intimacy and connection. Like it's so powerful. It's so powerful. Yeah. You know.
So how did you discover, just quickly, how did you discover that what you were facing was a pornography addiction?
Oh my goodness. I could tell from the get-go. Because I was in middle school, like just watching it hours and hours upon end. Like I was like a functioning addict. Like, I don't know how I did it. Like, it was really bad. Like, there were moments where my parents were literally sitting on the couch and I was on my laptop watching pornography. They had no idea I was doing it right in front of them. Wow. But like, that's how bad it was. Like, it was so bad. And then later years, I incorporated masturbation with it, and that made it even worse. Because pornography addictions, especially encompassed with masturbation, the addiction is just as strong as like a heroin addict's addiction, because of the chemicals that are released in your brain and your body and everything else. Like, it's so addictive, it's so powerful, and it's just so wicked, you know. And it's just so unhealthy, and it just perverts what God has created sex to be. But it was bad for a long time. And I think it helped, you know, surrendering my life to Jesus and getting baptized and committing to be a disciple of Jesus. That definitely helped, but the struggle has always been there,
right?
For years. And honestly, I feel like it's just now starting to get better, thanks to my husband. I just recently got married in July.
Jutes. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, thank you. And so I feel like marriage, the way that God designed it, has been very healing for my addiction and for allowing me to experience the intimacy and connection that is meant to be experienced,
right,
in a safe environment, in a safe covenantal relationship with another human being. And so that's been super powerful too, because I feel like, and I think when I was dating my husband and being engaged to him, that's when I realized that I was seeking intimacy and connection through pornography. And like, that's what I was really looking for. Because like, for forever, I couldn't think, I was like, why am I so addicted to this? Like, what is up? And then I realized it's because I'm searching for intimacy in all the wrong places, right? You know, because that's what I was taught, having been sexually abused. Like, I was robbed of that intimacy and connection that I could have had in a healthy relationship later on in life. And my childhood was stolen and my innocence was stolen. But yeah, I was seeking that intimacy and connection that I was so desperately longing for, that had been stolen from me and ripped away from me. And I find marriage is so healing. If done the right way, if done God's way, you know, like, marriage can really heal a lot of trauma and can really make you feel whole. Not in a way where you're like codependent on your husband or like dependent in that way. That's not what I'm saying. I guess it makes you feel whole. It's just like, it fixes what was broken. And it's not necessarily even the marriage itself. It's like what God is using the marriage for. Like, the marriage itself is like a tool. You know, so I don't know.
My husband and I got married in January of last year, so we're fairly newlyweds too.
Well, and congrats.
Thank you. We met 1 month after my autobiography was published.
Wow.
So there's so much in what you're saying that I absolutely recognize within my own marriage, and having him in my life and having this marriage and having it be designed the way that it was supposed to be designed.
Yeah.
It's been huge for helping me to progress within my own life and to move beyond whatever speed bumps were still sticking with me and scraping the bottom of my car. It's not in my way anymore. I can just step over these things now because I have him there as my guidance, as the hand that I'm holding, the physical hand who's walking with me through this life.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's a blessing for sure.
What kind of words of encouragement would you offer to somebody who's facing what it is that you had to face?
Oh, goodness. It wasn't your fault. Especially if it's trauma from when you were a child, wasn't your fault. God was there the entire time. He saw, he experienced it with you. He suffered through it with you. And the beautiful thing is, at the cross, he took all that suffering and shame and guilt and just evaporated it at the cross. So you don't have to carry that shame and guilt anymore. And it's easier said than done.
Yeah.
But like Jesus already took it away along with our sin. So like we can live freely and happily knowing that, you know, like, yeah, I was abused as a kid. I was abused this, I was abused that, but like, I don't have to let that define me. Like we have trauma, not that we are trauma. Like trauma is not a part of our identity. It's something we have, just like we have arms and legs and fingers. You know, it's not something we have to say, this is me. Like it's not you, it's what happened to you, you know, and you don't have to carry that and carry that burden anymore by yourself.
Yeah.
You know, there's a whole community of people that have gone through this trauma. Jesus went through trauma and abuse at the cross before, even before he was hung up on the cross. He was mistreated and spat on and just abused. And yeah, you don't have to go through that trauma alone anymore.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. He's already carrying it for us. We just have to let go of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So I understand you have a part of your book that you would like to share with us. If you have that handy, I'd love to be able to hand the mic over to you.
Yes, absolutely. So
tell
this
us
is
a little
from
bit
my,
about it, of course.
Yes, absolutely. This is my upcoming sci-fi novel. It's a debut novel for me. It's called The Mutates, The Creation. The Mutates is the series. And it's a story. It's a Christian sci-fi novel, which may seem paradoxical, I guess. But like it, I believe God uses science and even evolution and all those different things that we identify as science today. Like, I so believe that God used those things to help us understand what he's made and help us to expand on what he's taught us and what, and just to show his perfect design for the universe and everything else. So I think science has a beautiful way of just being a great testimony to God's existence, if we see it that way, you know. And so in this story, I have four protagonists. They're teenagers. They get kidnapped and experimented on and become these feline humanoids with wings called mutates.
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
Yeah. I mean, it is fun, but of course for them it was pretty dramatic.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. But I mean, the story itself sounds like fun. I would not want to be a feline human with wings. That's just not my cup of tea. I have cats. I don't want to be cats.
Right. Or just have that taken, like your humanity taken from you, just like without permission, without consent. You know, it's one thing to be like, oh, hey, yeah, sign me up. But like totally another when it's like you're kidnapped and all that. But yeah, in this particular scene, this is after the kids escape from the facility. They're on their way back home with the help of some friends they've made along their way in the journey. And they are just about getting ready to head up to Elwood City, Pennsylvania, which is where they live with their parents. They're in Louisa, Virginia right now. And they're staying at a friend's house. And they one of the kids, his name's Andy, he's very spiritual, very like God-fearing young man. And they ask him to pray for their journey and just everything that they've gone through. And so this is some dialogue leading up to that prayer. So Andy starts with, "I wonder what it would feel like to hear Dad's voice again," Andy murmured, sounding melancholy. "I think I might cry," Lola whispered. I could already tell she was tearing up. I gave her hand, a comforting squeeze. Remember how it felt when we saw ourselves for the first time in the mirror room? Tyler asked. The atmosphere darkened in the room at the memory. I think it will kind of feel like that. That's a little depressing, I sighed, realizing he was probably right, and this is in the point of view of one of the kids. Her name is Sammy. The silence afterward was impossible. Can we watch a funny cartoon? Good idea, Lola murmured, getting up and turning on the TV. I think we need to cheer ourselves up. Yeah, Andy sighed. Do you guys mind if I pray? I feel like I need to. Sure, man, Ty said. Uh-huh, Lola replied. I think that might actually be helpful, I said, closing my eyes while preparing to hear his voice. Lola muted the TV. Father, he began, and then I heard him start to cry. We have suffered so much. We were taken against our will and made into these beings. We haven't seen or heard from our families in so long. I pray that you will comfort our loved ones and comfort us as we are away from them. Please, please allow us to go home soon. Thank you for allowing us to be able to help Bran and TJ repair their relationship. I'm glad that that our sufferings were used in a way to help others. I pray that we can always have the mindset to use our misfortunes to help others work through theirs. Please don't let our suffering be in vain. I pray that in due time, Herman, scientist, will be judged accordingly for his actions. We all spoke up in the affirmative on that. I also pray that he can see the error of his ways and repent before it's too late. I also pray, I heard him growl, that if he dares to make more mutates, that you allow them to escape as we have. And I pray that we can help them. Thank you for the family I have with me now. Please keep us close to you, and please, please help us to go home soon. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen, we said in unison. We lay there as one mind for a while. We felt at peace, though. I was grateful that Andy prayed for us. I think God was listening.
When is this book due out?
Pray for me. Because I've been dealing with some financial hardships. So I'm hoping either at the end of this year or beginning of next year.
Oh, wow. It's coming up quickly.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. And while we are recording this well in advance, this episode is going to be airing in December. So if there's any kind of updates, I will make sure that I add them to the end of this episode, of course.
Awesome.
But people will also be able to follow you through your Facebook or your Twitter pages. I'm going to have those listed in the show notes so people can awesome. Find you and keep up with your story and engage with you and talk to you about what it is that you're doing and all this amazing stuff and your book. And I can't wait for the book. You know, I'm going to buy a copy.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
But my favorite question of the episode, I always say for last, and this is how I'm going to end the episode, is with your answer today.
Okay.
So what is one thing that you truly love about yourself that's not related to your physical appearance?
My gentleness. It's something my husband always says he loves about me as well. And I would agree, because when you go through trauma and hardship, it's easy to let your heart be hardened by it. And then you're just not able to feel, and you're not able to like be intimate with people. You're not allowed to just feel and live. And so I'm proud of myself that despite the trauma and hardship that I've experienced, I still have a gentle heart.
If you've enjoyed tonight's episode, please make sure you check out the episode description. There you'll find links on how you can learn more about this guest, links to connect with them on social media, and how to support the podcast. Remember, I don't get paid to do this. My boss is a bit tight-fisted. I can say that. I work for myself. In short, this show really is all about the guest. If you've enjoyed their interview, please feel free to let them know. You can also tune in to my other podcast, Growth from Darkness, which is co-hosted by a lovely lady from Australia. We talk about what trauma responses are and healthy ways to move beyond the past. For more information, just go to growthfromdarkness.com. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/growthfromdarkness.